You joking? 9 weeks.
We are live.
Well, hello and welcome back again. It's the Geek Whisperers, a podcast where we bring enterprise IT to the world of social media and vice versa. I am John Mark Troyer.
I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm Matthew Brender.
And we're recording here live at VMworld Europe in Barcelona in 2013. We've all sat down here together. We have a special guest with us. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Hansel Lin here. I'm a technical marketer for hire. I speak geek. I explain technology, whether it's in words or in writing.
So we just had an episode on LinkedIn, and now we've taken it into our own hands. We're running a job board here, I think.
Well, no. We wanted to have Hans on to give us some perspective on our topic today, which is, you had a good way of saying it. It's about advocacy, and it's about disclaimers, and it's about...
The paparazzi.
Yeah,
and connect the dots for me. We're going to talk about, do you represent the company? When do you represent the company? Who of people on social do represent your company and at what times? But how does that connect to V paparazzi? I don't quite get it.
Well, it's like I think of TMZ, the popular, you know, are you always on? Can you get trapped when you step out of your cab? When you step out of your tweet box, you know?
Yeah.
Are we living in a 24/7 world?
Yeah.
Once you're on Twitter for your company, is that a 24/7 commitment?
And are people ready to gotcha? I mean, that's sort of some of the...
Yeah, and do the things I do in my free time that I put out there as part of the blend that we all advocate for of being social, about both what you're representing as from a technical side, but also being an individual, is that newsworthy? Could I become a headline for something that is totally unrelated to why I do what I do socially?
Okay, well, this is a topic that we have all dealt with over the years, and one that we talk to with our colleagues about, one that our community discussions have about. You can see it on Twitter. People have disclaimers on their Twitter bio. People in their blogs do disclaimers. It's really questionable whether that means anything or not, but it certainly makes people feel good. But actually, we were here. Hans, you recently wrote a blog post on the topic because there was a specific story that really was kind of a misunderstanding and a couple of other things that happened. But maybe you can introduce the story for the day.
So what happened is that we all do work for a company, whether or not you're a partner or you work for a vendor, it doesn't matter where your job is. So there was someone that said something on Twitter about I promoted this company to one of my customers, and then there comes a question from someone for working for another company. Shouldn't you be neutral in that? Right. So that is posing the question. It's a generic conversation between people. That's what it's all about. It's just a conversation between people. And someone, a journalist, took that and said, well, this guy is slapping the other company around, so these two companies... But it's not about that, because they're not representing the company at that stage.
We'll get to your opinion on it, but so you're saying that the way it played out where there are two people, two different companies, they were having a conversation amongst themselves.
Having a conversation like you have it on a cocktail party.
Right,
sure, but
it.
Live on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that journalist took it and then turned it into a story.
Yes.
Okay, so now we all have the same baseline. But you definitely showed us what you think of it so far. They're saying, like, you don't believe that... it's okay for that to happen, or you were starting to lean that way.
Well, yeah, there's several things happening here. First of all, the people that were in the conversation are not officially public spokesmen of the company. If you have a company of 30,000 or 300,000 people, not everyone is a public spokesman of the company officially as their job title. Everyone works for someone. Do you have to be 24/7 knowing who you work for and not making a mistake in a conversation? Because that's where the danger comes in. Because Twitter is a conversation. We talked about it. It's a cocktail party. Yes. You reference it like that.
Yes.
If I ask, we work for different companies. We can still have a regular conversation with each other. The only difference is that in here, it's in writing. Even if you delete your tweet, even if you say something and 2 minutes later... If you insult someone by accident at a cocktail party, 2 minutes later you say, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Right.
If you do that on Twitter and you delete your tweet, someone could have taken a screenshot
Oh, yeah. It's,
and once it's in writing, so are you 24/7 representing your company, even though if you're not an official spokesman of the company? Yeah. Well, that's the question.
So let's frame that point, Hans, I just want to... I actually think the TMZ joke we were telling earlier becomes more in play here because Twitter is a way of, like you said, documenting something. There, I mean, on Twitter, part of the parlance is overheard. You know, the idea that you cannot, if you don't document it, Hans, like I could document something you did and make it part of public record, which is an interesting concept as well. So then we take something that could have lasted a few seconds and dissipate to something more permanent. And then... it feels like our clubhouse in some ways. We've talked about this a lot within our industry. Twitter feels like our platform of choice, the place we come together as people. Yes. But the fact that...
it's our personal mystery science theater.
Yeah. That the media is there too, and the media is on to us and has found our clubhouse and can use it to... and this... which I'm going to start a fight with PR again. That they are coming onto to our turf and because maybe their stories weren't as interesting without our local color. I mean, this is just so much...
yeah, I'm going to take a big step back and be like, first of all, it's weird to think that it's our, yeah, that it's our platform at all. I mean, the fact that it works as a...
We've formed a community on this platform, yeah. And that's pretty special, but I guess it is not our
platform. It's by no means, we don't pay for it, and that's for sure. But what's interesting about it is that they're discovering it, and it works.
It's not our platform, but it is like we say, it is our... we use it as our conversation area, but there's a few million people watching.
Yeah.
Everyone can watch the conversation.
It's actually quite dangerous. We don't realize how dangerous it is. There's career-limiting events that could go on every day.
So that was actually the end of the story there. If those people that had a conversation, someone from the press took it out of context, and they could get...
that could really injure their career.
It could injure their career because there are people out there, and let's not call them PR, but that do not understand the conversation-wise thing that is Twitter.
So let's break it apart and look at both that circumstance of two engineers having a discussion about neutrality and that turning into a newsline. And then the question of, are we always on? And is everything official? So those are the three threads.
Yes.
So first off, number one, with this particular case, two engineers having a disagreement about neutrality of a vendor and just having a conversation that would have happened and dissipated right away, but it was codified into a news story and turned into a thing. What are thoughts on that, John Troyer?
Well, you know, it kind of plays into the second and third point, right? We mm-hmm. are always on. We should not forget. We do forget that we are actually on a stage when we're talking to each other. I wrote the VMware internal guidelines on social years ago, and in it we call that out. We say that you know, don't talk smack about your competitors, and don't talk smack about other parts of your company. You don't know how many times I have to bite my virtual tongue when something stupid goes on at work, and you just want to go, my coworkers are the biggest effing idiots in the world. I can't say that. And it's not... yeah, and now people are tweeting that.
That's the danger of a live podcast.
You know, they're not idiots, but, you know, something goes wrong, you get frustrated, you know, but don't... that's part of our social media policy. Don't talk smack about other parts of the organization because you probably don't understand what's going on. And that criticism coming from you in a public forum, because it is a public forum, it's not just a cocktail party, looks bad. So I think we have to be conscious of it, and I think maybe even raise our awareness. There's some culpability to the actors in this back and forth that just happened, even.
No, I agree. And one other thing I would add, and again, we're jumping to points two and three a little bit here, is I
think it's natural, they're connected.
I do think you're always on. Cisco's policy, you have to disclaim, you know, tweets are my own, which I know we always say that's a little
silly.
Do you
have to put it in your bio?
You have to put it, yeah, our policy is you have to.
Honestly?
I'm not ever going to, I'm a refuse Nick.
No, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
You don't work for Cisco. So
is that some kind of legal thing?
Yes,
as in,
it's a legal coverage.
If you cross our boundaries, it is still yours.
It's legal theater.
It is a bit of legal theater. So there's letter of the law and spirit of law. Just putting that out there. So
okay.
You know that is our policy. So mine's that is on there. But two things there. It has a little bit of a quelling effect on the conversation if we feel like we can't be fully public. And at the same time, we do have to, just to your point, at a cocktail party, we have to follow rules of good behavior, I would think.
That's general good behavior. It has nothing to do with work and working for it. It's general good behavior.
Is
you do
context.
Not insult people.
Yes.
right? You don't do that whether or not you're working or in private. You do not insult people. That's just general. It has nothing to do with social media.
Right. No, agreed. Context-wise, I think that's the interesting part of this conversation, that you can document a small piece of the conversation and then it loses context.
Yes.
So that becomes a question of how do we manage through that?
Well, what news article isn't cutting massive amounts of context out of things? So I think it has to do with how it's framed. If it's framed as an interesting observation that there is conversation like this, and that turns into a news article, that's going to be all right. I mean, the fact is that we are always on. We're not official spokespeople, but...
Well, that is one of the open questions we haven't answered yet. Whether or not you're a spokesman, it's harder for the spokespeople themselves, but if you're not a spokespeople, can you still have your own opinion? Can you still have a general... I mean, they were just posing the question, shouldn't you be neutral? That is posing a question, opening a conversation. I cannot think about Twitter or social media in general as being, I have to be 24/7 aware of what I'm doing.
Well, I still need
to be able to talk things that I have in my mind.
Same thing happens to bloggers, right?
If you're
a blogger, you work for a company, can you mention the competition favorably? And if you do, is somebody at your own company going to say, hey, what? Why are you talking about the competition? That's happened multiple times in multiple companies.
I've certainly had that experience as well in terms of running Engineers Unplugged and saying, you know, can we do true, you know, open to dialogue, or do you need to be company based on where the who funds this project?
And unfortunately, I think there's the way it should work and the way it works.
Well,
the way it should work is, we are technical professionals. We're having a career-long technical conversation with each other. To get technical, if you're a VMware person and let's say you're an instructor or you're a consultant, you've got to be familiar with Microsoft technology to credibly say, I recommend one over the other. That's legit, and VMware shouldn't be mad at you for talking about Microsoft. The flip side is, we are all people, and this is social media, and companies are full of actual people, and
companies
are people too.
And if you say something
according to the United States government,
you can say something stupid and piss somebody off, rightly or not rightly, that can be career limiting. So
you can still apologize for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, but
you can still be fired. I can come to this conference, I can get drunk, strip down, get naked, stand on that table, and I will get fired.
Yeah. And you'll apologize too,
but
then you'll get fired.
Yeah.
One thing that your comments, besides, dancing around after too much drinking, is leveling in terms of, you said we're all technical professionals, and I think that's a good point too. I think your level of scrutiny raises the higher you go in the company. Because I was just sort of scrolling through my mind, President Obama, the Pope, two of our famous, sort of public Twitter accounts, they can't complain about a bad day, poke at somebody. They can't be at the cocktail party with us because of their positioning, and neither can our C-levels. When I do coaching for executive levels, I have to coach them on Twitter very differently than how we can communicate.
Well, can they still have that's the open way. Even if you are a spokesman, can you still have your own opinion? Can someone that is a C-level person tweet something about I do support Republicans?
They can.
Can you do
but
that
you'll
or
pay the
not?
Price. But you can, but you'll pay a price for it.
Yes.
It comes at a cost.
Yeah, and there's inherent risk to it. I mean, yes, you're allowed to have your own personal opinion as an individual on this earth.
And you can get fired.
And you can get in trouble for it, and there are ramifications for it when it's taken in certain contexts. That's just, whether we like it or not, that's a fact of just being people. People that represent something bigger than us.
There was a famous story a few years back in the social media world. A social media consultant flew into Memphis, I think, and he was African-American, flew into Memphis, had a bad experience at the airport, tweeted something on his way to the client, man, Memphis is full of racist assholes. Client saw it, he got to the client site, they said,
goodness,
thank you very much, you should leave now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they lost the job.
Wow.
The most important thing we talk about as being social media people is being a genuine person, right? Being authenticity. That's the whole thing. How can I be authentic if I'm not able to have an opinion?
Right, and that's back to the whole, does it have a quelling effect on the conversation if we can't be authentic? And when is being, when, frankly, when are you being authentic and being an asshole?
You should be able to back up, well. You should be able to back up what you say.
Yes, that as well.
Because
well,
you're saying it in public.
And be willing to pay the price, because I, again, there's the how it should be and how it is. Because to be honest, like, I think we're always on, and I think there is something about your leveling in your company. The higher you go, the words
the
mean
greater
more.
Risk.
And unfortunately, in some ways, we're victims of our own success. The more successful you are in these social media forums, and the more your voice is raised, the more visibility you have within your own company, and the more likely something good or bad could happen to you. So I think there is a, you know, we can graph this out practically. There's a direct proportional relationship between your success and your voice and the cost you'll pay for being authentic and for... and for having these opinions. Because I think these, I personally think you should be able to have this conversation. It's what makes it interesting. It's what makes it more than marketing BS points.
Exactly.
Because you've got some skin in the game.
Right.
At the same time, I think you do, as an individual, have to understand you do represent your company, whether you like it or not. You can disclaim it, but know your company culture and know you may have a price to pay, and it may be more than you're willing to pay at a certain point.
So you can have, you can be authentic if you're willing to pay the price.
I actually think that's not a bad truth there.
Oh, man. It's going to be so much harder for me to coach people to jump on Twitter now. But I guess there are a lot of people that, at a level, they can still fly under that surface for a while. But I think you're drawing that proportional graph that once you get to a certain visibility in our industry, you really got to watch yourself a little more. Well, I don't like that conclusion, but that's what I feel like we're going
for. It's actually a little scary. So Amy, Matt, and Hans, as you've coached people, whether they be PR, there's people that I've coached. They might be marketing managers or PR people, but more traditional, they're marketers. They're used to marketing, but they're not used to saying things on the fly.
Yeah.
They're used to everything being double checked. They don't want to speak in the first person. They like that safety net of we all got together and shook our heads and said, yes, this copy can go live on the website or whatever. Now, that the downside is, right, that can take, you know, it can take you months to change a web page or get a white paper out.
Right.
Or, you know, blog posts. If you have a bunch of editors for a blog post, by the time it gets published,
it's
sounds like a committee wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, too. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it can be real. You can take all the juice out of it, the life out of it. So the voice out of it. So when you tell them to get on Twitter in the conversation we've just had, and they listen to this podcast, they're like, you're crazy. You mean any tweet that I put out could get me fired?
It's a personal relationship. You're going to get more follower, more visibility. Again, it's a risk-reward relationship, 100%.
So there's a one-liner I use for myself. It is, does it have to be said by me now?
Ooh, I like that.
That's really good, Hans. Right.
So
let's
say that
again.
If you doubt about something, you should tweet. You have to ask yourself, does it have to be said by me now? That is it. It's the same for blog posts. It's the same for tweets. And that's one of the one-liners I use. But secondly, if I coach people, I don't want them to be afraid of using social media. I want people to do whatever they need to do, they think they need to do. So if you're not sure, ask me. But if you tweet something and you are wrong, doesn't matter. You'll learn from it.
Right.
I will tell you, we have to be able to make mistakes.
Yes.
Because if you're not able to make mistakes, it won't work. You'll be in that scenario of the blog post takes half a year to get out. Tweet it out. If you feel for yourself it is okay to tweet, just do it. I'll have your back if it was wrong.
Yeah.
That is my opinion.
And coming back, I was pondering that whole time about whether the conclusion we're going toward is one I'm comfortable with. And I'm realizing, you know what? Screw it. No, it's not. Yes, we are always on. Yes, we could be seen and turned into a news line. But I really believe in the right of us to have opinions. I think there's a really good framework that Hans just put together for us that we will certainly blog up. And I conclude that, no, screw it. Be yourself and continue to listen to those. Surround yourself with those that will get your back, both when you do screw up and you need to apologize, and they'll help you get there, help you prepare for those moments. So by the time you get enough visibility, you already know what not to do.
Well, and you know what this sounds a lot like, frankly, is media training. The interesting thing is we're coming back around to maybe a different conclusion.
No, this is community.
But I also think that, you know, again, I'm not saying that I want there to be a dampening of this kind of natural flow of conversation. But two things. I think it says that we're all spokespeople. And that as companies, one of the ways we could go at this is to provide, we have written guidelines, but what about a different kind of training, like to make people more ready so they understand the consequences, so we have get well plans in place, well, so that structurally we're able to handle it.
You need rules, well, not really, you need to have principles of how you engage. But next to the principles, you need to be able to break them by accident.
I love that concept.
You need to be able to go around the rules and say, you know what, I used to have a rule never to apologize myself. Never to apologize, because
I'm sure that went over really well.
Yeah, well, I always say,
throw a gender thing in there, that is part of women empowered in business training. They often, because women over apologize,
right.
Let me explain the apologizing part in general. In a conversation on Twitter, never, it doesn't matter. It is, if I say something wrong, being not accurate, tell me. But if you feel
insulted,
it's probably you, because I cannot have being insulting you on purpose. I never insult people on purpose, so I should not apologize myself. I learned that is a wrong principle for me. That's something I learned from social media, because we have different cultures. I changed my principles. I do apologize now, because I know that people can take things wrong.
Yeah.
I understand it. So you need rules for yourself, but you need to be able to break your rules. It's growing.
And a company, managers at a company, also need to be able to forgive people who make mistakes,
yes,
on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if it's as simple as not knowing how to spell your versus YOURE.
We've all done it.
That's unforgivable.
But I love this whole concept, and I'm raising two kids. And it's funny, Hans, I know you've got girls like I do, and this comes to bear in our professional lives. I'm telling them, if you don't make mistakes, you don't learn. And trying to say, don't be afraid to make those mistakes, because it's such a powerful concept you have. Of, we do, as companies, I think we're so afraid to have those missteps, but you're right. In those mistakes, great engineering happens, great innovation happens, great creativity and breakthroughs. Exactly. So if we have this extreme clinical, we're back to PR. Sorry. We're back to, like, sanitized marketing.
That's actually where I want to go with the conversation. So, do we back ourselves in the companies? Is Cisco backing their people, whether or not they're public spokespeople? Is VMware doing that? Is EMC doing that? Or do they get called into the office and say, what you tweeted there on Friday cannot be done?
Back to John's point, remember that these companies are made up of people. And there are as many opinions, if not twice as many opinions, as there are people.
Does VMware, does EMC, does Cisco back their people if they make mistakes?
Yes, they all do. But I'd like to... Everybody around this circle who has made a mistake inside the corporation and had somebody talk to you about it, raise their hand.
The audio hands are raised. Somebody got that picture.
So I have been... Yeah, we've all had discussions internally.
And I think in the last 2 months, the funny part is we're all remembering... I know all of our stories, and it's all been recent, so we're...
So, yeah, stuff happens.
And we also have jobs.
And we also
just
to, have...
for context, yeah. So...
And the same jobs.
So I think, for VMware, right, we do back up our people when they do make mistakes. But, yeah, sometimes there are, you know, we have conversations as well. That may not have been... You might not want to do that the next time the same way.
Yeah, and so on both sides of the fence there that, yeah, absolutely, I've felt that I've had an army of people behind me whenever I've maybe... tested the grounds and then crossed the line. It's all about that. But then there always are those people that are like, how is this guy allowed to do this and why? Those conversations are opportunities to teach others about why this works and why we have to be authentic and why that adds value to a brand, of not just ourselves, but the larger company really benefits from it. So I think of those, yes, have we had those talkings too? Absolutely. Have they benefited our company more that we thanks to those conversations? I'd say absolutely.
That is actually a really great point. We're back to the concept of mistakes matter. And if we don't make these mistakes, if all of us didn't get these talkings too, would we have as good of a policy? Would we, in some ways, my argument is, you know, it is unfortunate, but we should keep doing what we're doing because it expands the value of the company. I have to say that we're still
This is all interesting. The only reason this podcast is at all interesting is because we're breaking new ground in many ways with the use of social media and how it's changing the enterprise.
And in fact, I will extend what you said in that not only have we had those conversations, but has everybody been happy about the outcome of those conversations? No.
No.
Because it's an ongoing... Do people wish they could say something and they couldn't? Do they have differences of opinions? Do they still think that they were right when other people think they were wrong? Yes. But it's part of an evolving conversation within each company as we kind of understand all the cases. And sometimes we find out that it wasn't nearly as scary as we thought, and sometimes... and sometimes vice versa.
One of the things that I think is interesting, again, to take it back to the top in the story, is that it's interesting to me that the more traditional media has found this place to come and do research to find this kind of human angle or way in. I like this division between tabloid and conversation of substance.
Hey, I want one more thing before we wrap up then. I want to talk about disclaimers just for a sec. The reason I react... So
disclaimer on this conversation.
Yeah. In our corporate policy, we do say you should have a disclaimer on your blog and your Twitter. And we also say, but it really doesn't matter because you can still get fired. So the disclaimer really doesn't protect you. It is symbolic.
They don't. But they protect the company.
If you say something really libelous and the company can still get sued, anybody can get sued.
True.
And I've been noticing, the reason I reacted to your statement about the Twitter bios is I've been looking at people's Twitter bios and seeing, like, some people have it on there and some people don't. Tweets are my own. And I was thinking, you know what? 5 years ago, I thought that was necessary. I think I consciously said to myself, I think the culture of Twitter now is such that it's just assumed that your tweets are your own, that you're not representing a company if you don't have a branded account. So I think we can stop to, I'm advocating that we can start dropping that disclaimer.
No,
I will never put it in my bio, no matter who is hiring me. I will never put it in my bio.
That tweets are my own.
Yes. Yeah. Because it is my name. It's not Hans at company.
No, fair enough. That's a slightly different angle on it, though. And I know I'm being a little bit of the legal eagle and pushback on this as well. But in the same ways that
it's a legal eagle.
It's Sam the Eagle. Come up it. That you still put the C in a circle. You put the all rights reserved. You put TM on things. Like, that stuff does actually matter.
No, you don't.
It does.
That's old school. You don't.
But you actually
put a TM on a tweet?
No.
Yeah, but
in a blog. If you mention a product or the company name, would you put the C or the TM in?
No. It is a general point. Yeah. And it is about, you know, it is a little ridiculous. I can't believe I'm being the old lady here. This is a first time for me.
Yeah.
But in terms of protecting intellectual property, in terms of, and I know it's a little bit ridiculous.
Oh, now my tweets are intellectual property?
Oh, yeah, they are. They're in the Library of Congress. I'm going to go check them.
They're probably Twitter's property, just to be clear.
That's a whole shared environment we'll have to talk about later. But, I get your
but
point.
Hold on. I think
the model has changed and evolved, and maybe we're not all evolving fast enough with it. But investigate that in your own company. I would say, like, is that a battle you want to fight within your own company? Then take it there. But you know what your policy is coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
That is Cisco's policy. I do it for because if I do get in trouble, now I'm on the right side of them at least. And if they say I need to disclaim you and fire you and. You know what?
Yeah.
It's not a battle.
Fight a wiser battle that has more of a success rate. But I think there's something to be said, though, in each of our profiles. If we do work for a specific company or if we do have a particular angle, call it out straight away.
You should say who you work for.
You shouldn't cloak that. I love that disclaimer. I really believe in that part of the disclaimer, the saying, like, I work for this company.
If you talk about an EMC product or a NetApp product, I want to know that you work for EMC.
Yeah, that's just basic common decency.
And maybe that's a vendor side thing we're saying, because I know other people who work for VARs or smaller companies who haven't felt comfortable talking about their company for a few reasons.
Oh, yes.
And so it's an interesting conversation because I was about to be very flippant and say, if you're not willing to put your company on your Twitter bio, your company may be not willing to acknowledge you either. There might be a bi-directional relationship problem there. Mm. But I think that in some cases, having these conversations in one-off situations, they don't want their bar, their other job, their life to have as much interplay. And so I throw that out to the group. Like, then you have to take that extra step and go to LinkedIn and sort of track them down and see who, what their context is. But does that matter? So is this more important for vendor side?
It is respectful if you do. It's equally respectful if you choose not to. I think you should respect the people that say, you know what, my professional employer has nothing to do with my Twitter.
I don't think that's possible.
I don't think it's at all possible, yeah.
I think who pays you matters. Follow the money.
Well, if you work for a technology company and you talk about technology, then...
Well, time out. What if the CEO of a tech company jumps on Twitter, says, nope, this has nothing to do with my job, never mentions the job, they're the CEO, everyone knows who it is, and then they tweet something that has ramifications, like we were talking about. Like, did they somehow opt out of
no,
being...
No, that's like saying not it.
No, but
it doesn't work.
But I'm saying if I have a Twitter account and I just talk about cooking... And I don't talk about technology.
I agree with that.
Again, our explicit policy is that if you're not talking about technology, we don't care.
That's my personal example, and I agree with that.
CEO talking about politics.
That can have a ramification.
If he only tweets about politics,
then the board is going to take it up with them.
Yeah. So the CEO has ramifications, but let's say Joe Schmo Engineer has a Twitter account and talks about politics. I would bet heavily that individual will still have ramifications inside their organization because they're indirectly still a representative of who pays them.
It can if it gets extreme, but it also
they could be active in local politics as well.
True.
Which is their second job.
That's,
I mean,
that's their right though.
I think that's okay. And then they just deal with the personal price of does that change their place in the community and how people engage with them. That's to me authenticity and personality.
So you can be authentic if you're willing to pay the price.
That's it.
But do I have to say this now? Wait.
Oh, yeah. What was
Let's
your?
Does it off. Have to be said? It's first. Is it actually? Does it have to be said? By me, now.
I love that.
It's so
That's brilliant.
It says we need T-shirt. It's fantastic.
Right.
Words to live by. I think we've gone full circle in lots of different directions all at once, but I think we've circled back on saying that individuals do have a right to be themselves. Just as Amy put it so well, there are ramifications for it, and you have to be ready to talk to it.
You got
to
be smart about it.
You got to be smart. Follow Hans's tactics. Anything else that we can conclude?
I mean, we're all people. We're all still people, so you got to be a person.
Be ready to get fired.
Well, I mean, that's the truth. The truth is that people are less boring than companies. The reason I bet 10-1 we follow people over companies is we're less boring. And you know what makes us less boring is we make mistakes.
Yeah, we have opinions in real lives.
Yeah.
And then I guess the only other call I would make is that what gets us there, what gets us good at this is each other. I mean, we've all given and received those direct messages from people saying, hey, that was interesting. You sure you meant to say it that way?
That's actually well put. The power of community.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's that constant back channel that we're all watching each other's back, whether it's a blog post where I have like a typo and somebody tells me to correct it.
Yeah.
So just don't forget about that. Don't forget that there are lots of people that are willing and able to help you. And sometimes you have to ask. Other times you're going to get it whether you like it or not. So just be ready to say thank you.
Well, I think I wish everybody listening to this the judgment to say what you mean and to say things thoughtfully, and the wisdom to follow through on it. So that's been another week, The Geek Whisperers. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as J. Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.
Checking the microphone, la la la.
I'm John Troyer.